Life is a series of circles and cycles, phases and stages. These are your experiences that teach you the lessons of life. You can either ignore them or embrace them. Welcome to the James Cooley Show. It's your life. James is a motivational speaker, author, military veteran, and founder of the James Cooley Foundation. James is here to equip you to strive for greatness and to overcome adversity. It's time to get equipped today for the challenges of tomorrow. Now here's the host of It's Your Life, James Cooley.
Hello, welcome to the James Cooley Show, It's Your Life. I'm your host, Dr. James J.C. Cooley. And today is Wednesday, and everyone knows that Wednesday is 306 degree hell. And I look forward to today, but today is Tuesday. I got Dr. Mantia Tuesday and Wednesday. So we got another dose of the doc, you know, so, anytime that we can get to 306 degree of help with this great man, it's an absolutely wonderful pleasure. How are you doing today, Doc?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. So this week, we have 720 degrees of health. And my math is pretty good. I'm impressed. It's so good to be here twice. My goodness, especially with our guest today and with the wonderful and lovely executive producer, the brains behind this whole thing, Dr. Michelle Cooley. There you are.
Well, you know, hey, Doc, you know, we can't even start. We can't get nothing started without her giving us her blessing. So how you doing today, Dr. Cooley?
You are blessed. I am doing great. And yes, we are excited to have this guest back on the show. We are most excited to have Dr. Michael Mantel as our guest co-host today. Hey, audience, you are in for a treat. Whatever streaming platform you are seeing the show on, please send in questions. Please provide comments and just be part of the show. So we're really excited.
And they can pick up the phone and dial the radio station at 1-888-344-1170. Again, that's 1-888-344-1170. Hey, Michelle, I'm excited about the show. Can you go ahead on and introduce the title of the show? Now, I did not let it out the bag this time. also introduce the purpose and introduce this absolutely great returning guest.
Oh, most definitely so. It's 360 Degree Health Day. And the title of today's show is Mindful Self-Awareness, the Key to Optimal Wellness and Performance. And we have back on our show, George Pitagorski. He's an author, entrepreneur, learning development designer, consulting coach, and technology executive. He's going to be talking about what is self-awareness, what performance means, why self-awareness is important, and how to cultivate self-awareness. So George's work is to enable people to eliminate unnecessary stress and attain optimal wellness, relationships, and performance. His approach is practical and adaptable. He brings over 50 years of study and practice of yoga, mindfulness, meditation, Buddhist, and non-dual psychology applied in daily life as an entrepreneur, learning development designer, consulting coach, technology executive, spouse, parent, and grandparent. He offers individual, team, and relationship coaching, consulting, and speaking services. He has authored 5 books, articles, and workshops on mindfully managing projects, performance, work-life balance, relationships, conflict, and expectations. His latest book is titled The Peaceful Warrior's Path, Optimal Wellness Through Self-Aware Living, published in October 2023. It's a guidebook for applying concepts, tools, techniques, and exercises to sustain optimal wellness. So please, please welcome back to the show, Mr. George Pitagorski.
Hi, hey, lovely to be back.
George, it's great, a pleasure. Great to see you again, and thank you so much for joining us once again. You were such a wonderful, informative, and helpful guest. In the past, we had to have you back.
Well, thank you.
You know, so I'm always excited to have you on, George, because the knowledge that you display to our viewers and our listeners, especially when it comes to mindful self-awareness, because people still trying to get that language in when they say, what is mindset or what is mindful? Can you tell our viewers and listeners a little bit about what that is?
Yeah. So let's start with mindset, which is basically the quality of how we see the world, in effect. It's the set of beliefs and mental models, which is another buzzword. But basically, it's the filters through which we see our world. And everyone has a mindset. Sometimes it's not so obvious to even the person who has it, but it's there. And it influences the way that we behave and the way that we speak and our relationships, therefore, and everything that we do. So that's what a mindset is. And just as an example, one person might have a very optimistic mindset. Everything is seen as being fine and good and progressing and so forth, while another person can have a opposite type of mindset. So mindset. Then we have mindfulness. Mindfulness actually contributes to one's mindset because it's the capacity to step back and observe, consciously observe what's occurring both internally and externally. So mindfulness is a quality that everyone has to one degree or another. So we're seeing that mindfulness gives us the ability to be objective. And through that objectivity, we can actually observe our mindset and the way that it is affecting us and those around us. And through that, be able to manifest a greater degree of wellness, a greater degree of effective or optimal performance.
When I was growing up as a kid in the 1950s, my mother used to say, "Michael, pay attention to what you're doing." Today, 2020s, we talk about being mindful. It comes down to paying attention to paying attention. I'll give you a great example. The other night, my wife lost an earring, and she was frantic. It was a very expensive piece of jewelry. It was her mother's, and I can't find it, Michael. I walk into the bathroom, very slow. And I look down in the mat by the sink, and there I see this little shiny object. I said, "Paul, look down. There it is." She said, "How did you see it? I didn't even see it." Kahneman at Harvard, who recently, I think he passed away recently, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book about fast thinking and slow thinking.
Yes.
And a lot of what you talk about is just that. Slow down. To pay attention. To pay attention.
Exactly. Pay attention to everything, including the way that you're paying attention, so that the ability to see that now, if you have the intention to do it, you can step back and see the degree, you know, in your wife's case, there was a certain panic. There was a certain degree of reactivity that blinded her to whatever was going on around us.
So what gets in the way? What gets in the way of most people, the way they drive or the way they're walking or whatever it is they're doing when it comes to self, to creating greater self-awareness?
Well, I think one of the primary things that gets in the way is a lack of valuing that quality of mind. So that's one thing. Once we value it, we can start doing something to cultivate it and create more of an understanding and acceptance of it. But then there's also conditioning.
Do you think we should be teaching that to children in elementary schools?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had an experience actually teaching that to third graders. And it was, for me, it was an eye opener because I realized that these children not only could understand what mindfulness was, but could actually start to make use of it in their own experience.
You know, the Waldinger study at Harvard, that was an 85-year longitudinal study that followed people for their whole life and looked at happiness and social health. Uh-huh. Can you imagine, George, if we followed those third graders that were fortunate enough to have you as a teacher and say, where are they 20 years from now? Would they be better off than those who did not learn self-awareness and mindfulness?
My, My feeling is that they would be better off if they maintained the, you know, the learning. What happens with learning is that sometimes it's forgotten. But if they maintained a consciousness about being mindful and then had the technique, the method for enhancing that quality, they would, I believe, be much more effective than in life than people who didn't have that kind of background.
Indeed. Now, in rational emotive behavioral therapy and rational emotive behavioral coaching that Albert Ellis invented, we talk, and also in cognitive behavioral therapy that was developed in the University of Pennsylvania. So we talk about the three C's: catch your thoughts, challenge your thoughts, to be able to change your thoughts. You talked about techniques, and we're going to get into some of those techniques. I want to hear about them. We're going to be taking a break in a moment, but you've heard of the three C's, the catch, challenge, and change, right?
Yes. And the this is taking mindfulness to the next step. Mindfulness is very, very much a, I wouldn't want to call it a passive thing, but it's not yet at the stage of catch, challenge, and change. That requires yet another step, which is an intentional way of changing one's behavior, which, you know, is very much in line with cognitive behavioral therapy. We cognate it, we can experience it intellectually and conceptually, but then to actually change behavior, that takes another degree of concentration and intention in order to do it.
Wow. And George, hold that thought, because we're going to take a station break and we're going to come back. We're going to pick up from where you're leaving off at right now. We're going to talk about the three C's, because I got the four C's, but we'll talk about the three C's. And we're going to talk about a whole lot of other things. So, Dr. Mike, George, man, I know that our listeners are getting an earful right now. So we're going to take a station break and come back and pick this up and continue to talk about mindful self-awareness, the key to optimal wellness and performance. And if you want to be part of the conversation, regardless of which platform that you are watching us on, or if you're listening to us on, you can be part of that by going to the comments or just picking up the phone and dial 1-888-344-1170. Again, that's 1-888-344-1170. KCBQ, the answer. FM 96.1, AM 1170, the answer. San Diego, hope to hear from you.
There's more stories of greatness to help you overcome adversity coming up on It's Your Life with James Cooley.
Hi, I'm Todd Pyrick, the producer of The James Cooley Show, It's Your Life. And in the new audio version of his book, Country Boy, City Boy, A Journey That Ain't Over Yet, you can join James as he shares his true life story of struggle and success in America. It's both a cautionary tale and a roadmap to achieving the American dream. Get the new audio version of his book, Country Boy, City Boy, A Journey That Ain't Over Yet, by Dr. James Cooley, on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold.
The J.C. Cooley Foundation is a nonprofit organization that was started in October of 2014. The J.C. Cooley Foundation continues to strive to expand its programs and offerings to the youth, young adults, and citizens of our great communities nationwide and overseas. We hope that you'll be able to take part in one or more of the many exciting events that we're offering this year and experience firsthand the pride we take in supporting our cause. It's our mission to equip the youth of today for the challenges of tomorrow, and we rely heavily on the generosity of individuals and business owners for support. Without the assistance of community-minded individuals just like you, we wouldn't be able to serve our youth each year. We ask that you make a commitment to support our annual appeal by making a cash donation. This year's goal is $50,000. Your generosity will assist us in making a difference in the lives of the youth in our community. You can give online at CooleyFoundation.org. Remember that every donation makes a difference regardless of size. The J.C. Cooley Foundation thanks you in advance for your contribution.
FM 96.1 North County and AM 1170 San Diego. The Answer. Streaming at TheAnswerSanDiego.com.
Life is a series of circles and cycles, phases and stages. These are your experiences that teach you the lessons of life. You can either ignore them or embrace them. Welcome to the James Cooley Show. It's your life. Dr. James Cooley is a motivational speaker, author, military veteran, and founder of the J.C. Cooley Foundation. Dr. Cooley is here to equip you to strive for greatness and overcome adversity. It's time to get equipped today for the challenges of tomorrow. Now, here's the host of It's Your Life, Dr. James Cooley.
Hello, welcome back to the James Cooley Show. It's your life. And hey, Toddy, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Wow. You know, hey, Todd, we just went over a milestone today. 50,000 subscribers on YouTube alone. Man, I thought it was going to take another 10 years for me to get that.
Congratulations.
Hey, you know, what I'm trying to say is... 306 degrees help is what's the driving, and it's brings a lot of people to our show, to the radio, to everything, because we have great guests like George here that's sharing his information, his knowledge, his understanding on how we can all become mindful self-awareness and things that we do. And of course, we got the fabulous Dr. Michael Mantell, my mentor, always sharing great knowledge with us. So I just want to thank our viewers and our listeners and our subscribers for doing this, because I need to get back to the show. So Todd, what you think so far of the show?
Great show. I'm loving it. I'm learning a lot. I'm taking notes. I love the three C's. Very good stuff.
And, you know, that's what we're getting ready to jump back into the three C's. Because Dr. Mike brought him up and George was breaking him down. So, hey, Doc, I want to turn it back over to you on that.
Okay. So, George, Arthur Brooks and the great Oprah Winfrey, who I've been privileged to know and be on a show numbers of times and whatnot, they wrote a book called Build the Life You Want. And in the book, they talk about happiness being, resting on an anchor of family, friends, work, and faith. I'm curious how self-aware living can contribute to happiness in our family, friendships, our work, and in our faith. Can you talk about that?
Yes. I think the connection is that mindfulness provides a base. It provides a foundation for effectively living. And the next layer on top of that foundation is self-awareness, which is the capacity to actually, it's the challenge part and the catch part kind of together. So mindfulness allows you to catch the thoughts that are coming up or whatever it is that's potentially driving behavior. Now we have this quality of self-awareness, which is saying, well, who am I? How do I relate to this particular thought or feeling? Or usually it's a feeling before it becomes a thought, but both of them. How do I relate to this? Why do I choose to behave in the way that I'm behaving? So it's this awareness of one's inner workings, the mechanisms that are leading from one place to another. So we have that self-awareness, which now in the context of emotional intelligence leads to the ability to manage one's emotions, to manage one's behavior so that one is not reactive. With that comes the ability to now manage relationships effectively. Mm-hmm. So, one of the elements that we're looking at, friends, family, et cetera, is now, how do I manage that set of relationships without being reactive to those parts of those relationships that are triggering me in some way, that are pushing my buttons.
The space between the stimulus and the response.
Yes.
Bump, ba-da-bump, bump, bump, bump. Wait a minute. Could be something else.
Yes.
That gives us the difference between reacting and responding.
Exactly.
Wow. That's the power, right?
Yeah.
So what about the most practical applications, the practices, the habits that we can begin to have our listeners and viewers incorporate into their daily lives, like journaling or meditating, or what tips do you have for that?
Well, my focus is often on starting to do some kind of a meditative practice. It's a practice to enhance one's mindfulness, which again provides that foundation. So one can do that in a formal way and in an informal way. So we suggest the combination of the two, but for beginners, it might start with a very informal practice of every once in a while, let's say one sets a little alarm that every half hour goes off and reminds someone to take stock of where they are, to feel their body, feel the sensations of their breath just for a moment, bringing themselves to the present, taking a breath, and then engaging again. And that capacity, it's a stepping back. It's a stepping back out of the intellectual, out of the normal reactive mode into something that is what we would call a mindful space, a mindful place of being.
How important is acceptance when we step back?
That's what stepping back allows for. Acceptance, to my mind, and I highlight this in this book, The Peaceful Warrior's Path, is that acceptance and letting go are the two aspects of our behavior that is going to make a huge, huge difference. So the ability to step back, now I'm out of the reactive mode, hopefully. Or if I'm not out of it, I can at least see that I'm in it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we see that we're reacting, but we don't have the capacity to break out of it. But even just the ability to see that I'm being reactive gives me a great deal of freedom from the reactivity. So now I step back, I accept what's happening in the moment, so I can't change that. And then I bring in something else. I bring in an intention, and my intention is to be responsive, which means taking stock of the situation that I'm in and cultivating the ability to do what is most appropriate in that situation.
For those who are listening right now and viewers, I want to build on what you're saying, George. And this is a great little exercise. If you can right now, pick up a pen or a piece of paper or anything, little thing between your thumb and your forefinger, and hold on to it. And now look at the other three fingers. See, you're not letting go. You're holding on. You're holding on to something. And you're restricting, you're limiting your ability to do much else with those three fingers. Now, drop what you've been holding on to, let go, and then you have your whole hand to be able to move and impact and drive forward. Is that an example of what you're talking about when you talk about these activities?
It certainly is. It's basically by letting go, we now have the capacity to do something most effectively. So a lot of people, when they hear accept and let go, there's a sense of, oh, we're going to be too passive. But the letting go is into the allowing of one's experience and capability and all of the rest of our qualities to come to bear. And we're letting go into that flow of performance. And when we do that, we can perform far more effectively than if we're still holding on to the pen and we only have three fingers instead of five.
How do you practice mindful decision making, something you speak about and coach about and lecture about and write about? Mm-hmm. How do you practice mindful impactful decision making? What does that mean?
It's basically, again, it's the same formula. In order to make an effective decision, we have to first recognize what's driving that decision. And often it's totally emotional. Or if it's not totally emotional, it's totally cognitive and intellectual. The ability to be mindful is the ability to see how those two elements fit together so that we can apply our intelligence in an analytical way to get the facts of the situation and to see what's really going on without the emotional aspect, but then to bring in the feeling tones, because they're very informative. And the combination now of the two balances in a way that doesn't let us be so analytical that we lose the human aspect, and at the same time allows us not to be totally reactive to our emotions. So we're seeing our emotions as kind of an energy, and we're transforming that energy into fuel that is fueling our analytical side. And then we're using our analytical side to make better use of the emotional energy that's undeniably there.
We have less than a minute, but when we come back, I want to ask you about the concept of self-awareness at a time in society when we need to be so other aware. Too much emphasis on self, it sounds like we're saying the other person doesn't count. But in order to be other aware, mm-hmm. we need to be self-aware first. I'm going to turn it back to our wonderful host, Dr. J.C. Cooley.
Well, you know what? This is an extraordinary conversation. Yes, we got to pay the bills. We got to take a commercial break. And as you see, my producer, Todd, is saying, hey, it's time for you guys to cut it down for a second or so. But he's excited about what's going on. And he's down to the last three bags of popcorn. You know, so our viewers and our listeners out there, this is a very intriguing, very informative discussion from George, Dr. Michael Mantel, myself. And I tell you, I just want you to sit back, think about it. A lot of things have been talked about. And if you want to be part of this conversation, whichever platform that you're on, all you have to do is go to the platform. Go to the comments, ask any questions that you might have. I promise you we'll get you an answer, or pick up the phone, 1-888-344-1170. It's your life, and we'll see you shortly after the break.
There's more stories of greatness to help you overcome adversity coming up on It's Your Life with James Cooley.
There's much truth in a journey that ain't over yet, as all of us journey through life's precious gift of time, just like I have. Hi, I'm Todd Pyrick, the producer of The James Cooley Show, It's Your Life. And in the new audio version of his book, Country Boy, City Boy, A Journey That Ain't Over Yet, you can join James as he shares his true life story of struggle and success in America. It's both a cautionary tale and a roadmap to achieving the American dream. This is a must listen for anyone who thinks they're stuck in life or needs to understand that their current situation is not their final destination. Country Boy, City Boy, A Journey That Ain't Over Yet is the unfiltered truth to provide hope for the future by challenging you to refuse to become a victim of life's circumstance and dare to become an overcomer, because a bigger, better, and more impactful life awaits you. Get the new audio version of his book, Country Boy, City Boy, A Journey That Ain't Over Yet by Dr. James Cooley, on Amazon or wherever books are sold.
The J.C. Cooley Foundation continues to strive to expand its programs and offerings to the youth, young adults, and citizens of our great communities nationwide and overseas. It's our mission to equip the youth of today for the challenges of tomorrow. We ask that you make a commitment to support our annual appeal by making a cash donation. Your generosity will assist us in making a difference in the lives of the youth in our community. You can give online at cooleyfoundation.org. The J.C. Cooley Foundation thanks you in advance for your contribution.
FM 96.1 North County and AM 1170 San Diego. The Answer. Streaming at TheAnswerSanDiego.com.
Life is a series of circles and cycles, phases and stages. These are your experiences that teach you the lessons of life. You can either ignore them or embrace them. Welcome to the James Cooley Show. It's your life. Dr. James Cooley is a motivational speaker, author, military veteran, and founder of the J.C. Cooley Foundation. Dr. Cooley is here to equip you to strive for greatness and overcome adversity. It's time to get equipped today for the challenges of tomorrow. Now, here's the host of It's Your Life, Dr. James Cooley.
Hello, welcome back to the James Cooley Show, It's Your Life, and enjoying these discussions with George and Dr. Mantell, and I know our viewers out there, I'm looking at the numbers, and I am extremely impressed about the number of folks that are watching the show, but you guys haven't provided any questions or comments. Don't be scared. That's what we call it in the South. Don't be scared. Yeah, if you want to know and you want to get some of this information and knowledge that Joe just put in that documentary, all you have to do is go to the comments. Ask any questions that you might have. I promise you, we'll get you an answer. I want to ask one question before I turn it back over to Dr. Mike. And we talk about reflected practices. We talk about certain things that's going to help us lock in the knowledge and understand things. So, George, my question to you is, how do you seek incorporating feedback from others to gain insight into how you are proceeding, how your actions and impacts those that are around you? How does this awareness inform your self-image and your behavior and your mindset?
Great question. Well, the first step is to recognize that mindfulness is an observing not only of what's happening internally, but also what's happening externally. So as we cultivate more of this objectivity, we can start to see the body language, the facial expressions, as well as the more obvious communications that are giving us feedback. And because we're cultivating this objectivity, we can see the feedback without filtering it with regard to our own self-image. So we can start to be objective about it. That's, on a subtle level. On a more, on a less subtle level, we have the ability to ask for feedback. Depending on the situation, how am I doing? And we can ask that question in any number of different ways and start to see if we can get some candid feedback. And hopefully we're ready for candid feedback when it doesn't meet our expectation, so that we can accept even negative feedback and from that grow, and also accept positive feedback, because many people don't have a very high positive self-image. So when they get positive feedback, unless they're ready for objective evaluation, they might reject it.
Yeah.
So it's that combination of really being ready for the subtle and then the more explicit types of feedback, and dropping the filters that come from either a poor self-image or an overly an overly pumped up self-image.
George, earlier you were talking about emotional, and I'm curious about this. Now, we know emotional intelligence means the ability to identify and manage our own emotions, as well as to identify and manage emotions in relations with others.
Yes.
In your self-aware living work, which I want to talk more about in terms of your website and what you offer, but in terms of self-aware living, it's important, we talked about this right before the break, that self-awareness is not selfish awareness. The goal of self-aware is to be a better member of society. And Lord knows we need a healthier society. Can you connect up for us how self-awareness promotes healthier other awareness?
Well, for one thing, what it does is it gives us, when we are self-aware of the inner workings, it gives us a sense of how we are filtering the input that is coming from others. And we can see, for example, by being self-aware, if I'm just so pumped up about myself, so ego involved, that I'm actually blanking out everybody else and kind of making believe that they're there as puppets of my my own self. Now, having a, adding, I said before that self-awareness and mindfulness are foundational. We add to that intention and values. Mm-hmm. So if one has the intention and values of being compassionate, kind, servant-oriented, then the self-awareness is giving us the capacity to see where we might be falling short in the accomplishment of those values and intentions. On the other hand, there are some people around who don't have those kinds of intentions and values. They can also be self-aware, but because they don't have those values, they might be using their self-awareness in a manipulative way.
Right.
So it's not a simplistic thing of, generate mindfulness and self-awareness, but we have to add to that the values and the intentions. And then based on that, we can behave in a way that is going to manifest those.
This is what real mental health is all about in our society today. It's not one-off sitting around talking about what your mother did when you were 5 years old. And it's time that the American Psychological Association, it's time the American Psychiatric Association listen to people like George Pitagorsky and understand this is a societal issue. We need to embrace law enforcement, faith communities, schools to teach self-aware living.
George, and what, to teach values.
And teach values.
And to teach the kind of values that are not overly rigid in some way. We have some basic values, but they get distorted through any number of institutions. We have to really guard against that that type of thing, because what we find is that when we become rigid about these kinds of values, it leads to discrimination. It leads to all sorts of negative end results. So what we do is we, cultivate this quality of being able to step back and not be so driven by the desire to eliminate chaos and uncertainty. We allow for the understanding that this whole realm of social, the ability to have a society that recognizes interdependence and interconnection. In order to have that, we have to have values that support or are supported by that kind of understanding.
Certainly, the more we organize our thinking, the less we agonize. The more we organize, the less we agonize. And I feel that the idea of teaching this to youngsters, but I'm all for integrating the major organizations, the law enforcement, faith communities, schools, working together and saying, let's sit down and talk about how we can bring this to children.
There's that aspect. There's also an aspect, and I think that's very, very important. We want to create that quality of understanding in our children. But there's also the need. You talk about faith communities. There are faith communities that are very much in keeping with this kind of teaching. And then there are other faith communities that are not, that are so rigid in their understanding that they in effect, don't recognize the validity of other versions of faith, where my understanding and the teachings that I've had indicate that you have many, many different ways to get to the base of human understanding and healthy living and being able to live in an interconnected, interdependent world.
Wow. You know, I just sitting at this, listening to this great conversation, but the society, depending on where their hearts are at, talking about the powers that be, no one want to talk about the elephant in the room or anything like that. But how do we get folks to pull away from everything they see on TV or some whoever they're following politically is correct, and that's what they're going to do, and their mindsets is already locked in on that, and they don't want to grow because they're in a culture. Therefore, he or she is right. It's kind of like take me to the thing. Take me to your leader, whoever is the leader. That's what they follow. What word or advice would you give people that's locked in?
Well, you know,
and they don't understand that we all bleed. We all, I mean, if you cut yourself, blood gonna come out. If you do this, it's not just because one person is superior to others. We got like a minute and a half before the show. I mean, before the break. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I'm writing an article at the moment. I don't know if I'll publish it, but it's about politics and division. And in it, I have come to a conclusion that there are some people who are so bound up and identified with their version of the truth that nothing will break through except for lightning bolt coming from the sky. And, you know, one of the apostles got struck by lightning. I think it was Paul, and he had this great awakening. But another person might be struck by lightning, get up and just continue to collect taxes or do whatever it is that that they were doing to start. So the answer is to find the people who have a glimmer of open-mindedness. Because as long as one's mind is closed, no matter what comes in will be bounced off and eliminated as a possibility.
Wow.
And you even as something that
we got to take a station break right now, but Dr. Mike, I'm going to come back and pick it up from there, and you're going to have it.
Okay.
And so I tell you, such an interesting conversation. That's why we brought George back on, because we already know what he brings. And I tell you what, if you want to be part of the conversation, all you have to do is go to the platform that you're watching us on, or pick up the phone, call the radio station, 1-888-344-1170. And I tell you, we'll get you next to it's your life, and we'll see you shortly after that.
There's more stories of greatness to help you overcome adversity coming up on It's Your Life with James Cooley.
Country Boy, City Boy, A Journey That Ain't Over Yet, the true life coming of age story by James J.C. Cooley. Using humor, wit, and engaging storytelling, James paints a picture about his arrival in a rural deep south town and realization that life would never be the same. Cooley lays out his struggle to adjust from city life to country life and back again, sharing his hard-earned lessons to educate, encourage, and enlighten our next generation of leaders and heroes. Get your copy of Country Boy, City Boy, A Journey That Ain't Over Yet by James J.C. Cooley, available on Amazon and everywhere books are sold.
FM 96.1 North County and AM 1170 San Diego. The Answer. Streaming at theanswersandiego.com.
Life is a series of circles and cycles, phases and stages. These are your experiences that teach you the lessons of life. You can either ignore them or embrace them. Welcome to the James Cooley Show. It's your life. Dr. James Cooley is a motivational speaker, author, military veteran, and founder of the J.C. Cooley Foundation. Dr. Cooley is here to equip you to strive for greatness and overcome adversity. It's time to get equipped today for the challenges of tomorrow. Now, here's the host of It's Your Life, Dr. James Cooley.
And a roadmap to achieving the American dream. Get the new audio version of Country Boy, City Boy, A Journey That Ain't Over Yet by James Cooley on Amazon.com or wherever audiobooks are sold.
Wow. Hey, Todd, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Wow, man. What you think about the discussion so far, man?
Well, it is a really good show. Like earlier, I know you called on me. I was running down the hall, but I'm still taking notes. I think the main thing is that we all need to be more mindful. I think that's really important these days.
I think we need to be more mindful, and we also need to be more independent, meaning independent thinking. Not saying just because you support somebody or that person, whatever that is, that they're right about everything, and you do not have a mind because you blind. Yeah, you completely blind and whatever that is. So I want to pick it up with that. Dr. Mankin, we got about 5 minutes, 5.5 minutes left on the show. Right. I want to pick that up. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to be talking about this tomorrow when we do 360 Degree Health again. But I just want to talk a little bit about the idea of self-rating. And this touches on mindfulness and whatnot. But I think if we were to eliminate, I'm talking over the sirens in New York City right now. But if we were to eliminate self-rating, I'm not as good as you. You are better than I am. I am a failure because I didn't do well in school. If we can stop rating ourselves and instead rate our performances, our abilities, our skills, then we no longer have this ego involvement. And as a result of that, we're not always comparing and then despairing. And from that despair, we have this rigid, inflexible thinking that we're talking about, George. That is, I must have this, I must have that. And that gives us a chance to like develop a little bit of awareness. And I should say, build a greater awareness and other awareness and social and emotional intelligence. Now, I know I just said a great deal, but I want to just pick up, George, if you can talk about the idea of self-rating versus rating your performance and skills, but not equating that.
I think the two are very tightly coupled with respect to one another, because if one is identified with their performance and sees their performance as being the reflection of themselves, then rating the performance and rating oneself becomes synonymous. But, you know, this notion of closed-mindedness is one of the elements associated with that. It certainly is about self-rating, but there's a conditioning that takes place in many people's lives. And that conditioning leads them either to be open in mindset, they're of a mindset that says it's okay to be less than what I would want to be. It's okay, because basically it's what is, and it's part of that acceptance that we talked about before. But then there's another type of conditioning which says that anything that breaks into my sense of how things should be is bad. And when a person has that kind of mindset, it is very difficult to break through. It takes, I call it grace, some kind of light striking them. And all of a sudden they start to realize that the breakup of that shield that they've put up allows them to actually be far greater than they currently are. But as long as they're closed in, as long as they're perhaps closed in because they're afraid of what might happen if they open their mind, or because they are in some way threatened by having other people's thoughts enter into their frame of reference. So they get into this closed-mindedness, and breaking through that, not easy. But now we live in we started this conversation regarding society. We're living in a society now that is more and more dividing between the open and the closed. The open-minded lead more towards a quality of being well, open to other people's ideas, accepting the fact that there's no single view that is totally accurate because we live in such a complex environment. The closed is basically afraid of that kind of thinking, and as a result, is trying to close down the open.
Well, hold on. We're down to 1 minute. And
hope is that the open continues to grow and is a greater proportion of the population than the closed.
Well, my thought is my programs, all five shows for this week, is geared around being open-minded, geared around making decisions for yourself based on the facts, based on all other things you have gathered. You know, I tell you what, George, you've been absolutely wonderful. Hey, Dr. Mike, I think we need to get him back on for part three. What you think?
Three times. Come on. Get him up at bat three times.
Is that a record?
Yeah. You're going to break it.
Yeah. So I think we need to get him back on. But I want to thank Dr. Mike Pimentel, my 360-degree help. You know, I tell you. I called him a guest host, but we locked in on Wednesdays. And just like today, we locked in on Tuesday. So I want to thank you, sir, for all of the contribution and everything that you're doing. George, I want to thank you so much, so much, so much. I'd like to thank Dr. Michelle Cooley for putting together another absolutely fantastic show. Most importantly, I'd like to thank my producers at KCBQ AM 1170 Answer, FM 96.1. Toddy is what I call him. He's been my producer for 5 years. And most importantly, I'd like to thank our viewers and our listeners for tuning into James Cole Show Shalom. Always, always, always dream big. Think big. And be big at everything you do. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, with Dr. Michael Mantia. It's your life. We'll see you then.
Thanks for joining us for the James Cooley Show. It's your life. To learn more about Dr. James Cooley and how you can support the show or become a guest, visit CooleyFoundation.org. Join James for more motivation and inspiration to help you become equipped today for the challenges of tomorrow. This has been It's Your Life with Dr. James Cooley, where you learn how to dream big, think big, and be big in everything you do.
It's Your Life is sponsored by James J.C. Cooley.